Well, if you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn to Psalm 6. We'll be in Psalm 6 this morning. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, that will be on page 530. The book of Psalms, if you kind of go right to the middle of your Bible, you should land on the Psalms. And if you can make your way to chapter 6, the big numbers are the chapter numbers, the little numbers are the verse numbers. Psalm 6. I'll go ahead and read our text, and then we'll go ahead and dive in. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. And Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. This is the word of the Lord. Well, we are going to take a break from our series through the book of Genesis, and we are going to spend some time in the Psalms just for the next 4 weeks. We pick back up here in Psalm 6, where we left off. Psalm 6 is a prayer of lament. The purpose of a lament is to help give us language for when there are times in our lives or a season that we may go through that seems disorienting or out of balance. These psalms are for when life isn't working the way it should be. And it's in those times where we grasp for words, don't we? Where you need a way to express your trouble and your pain. But laments are not supposed to leave us in the pain. They also lead us towards faith and God in the midst of it. This is where we find David, the author of this psalm. The disorienting part of David's life in this psalm is that he is experiencing great trouble. He is in immense pain, both physically and spiritually, as we will see. And because of this, he finds himself weeping, moaning. What we will see is that the words and images he uses mirrors his troubles. But yet, at the end of his prayer, we will see his emotion turn because of his confidence in God. The Psalms are so helpful because they hit every aspect of human emotion. And so for you this morning, when you find yourself experiencing the same feelings of trouble and afflictions, when you find yourself speaking more with tears than you do with words, this psalm can be prayed to help express the language of your heart during such times. So the point of our text this morning, the point of our sermon is simply this: turn to God when you are greatly troubled. Turn to God when you are greatly troubled. This psalm, as we will see, is broken up into two main sections with this idea of turning in both. In the first section, verses 1 through 5, we see David's plea, his plea to God. And in verse 4, we hear David ask God to turn and deliver him. And then in verses 6 through 10, we will see a change in attitude, a change in tone with David. His prayer ends with confidence with God as he prays in verse 10 for his enemies to turn back and for them to be put to shame. So turn to God for deliverance, and we can be confident that those who have been against us in our trouble will turn back from us, as we see in verse 10. So let's go ahead and look verses 1 through 5. We begin with verses 1 through 3. In his troubles, David turns to God because he believes that God is in control of his life. This may seem simple, especially as Christians, but when life is chaotic and disorienting, things often seem out of control. And that can often we can see what we really turn to when life is chaotic. Is God the first one we turn to? But there is a God we can go to who is in control, even when everything seems like it is spiraling out of control. God wants us to come to him in such times. In seeking deliverance, David begins by asking God to change his disposition towards him. He says in verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. It seems as if David is experiencing these afflictions because of sin in his life. However, we are not told the specifics of it. Though David's sin is likely the cause of his troubles, he's vague enough that we who find trouble in our own sin can pray this prayer. But it also be that you might relate to David's troubles as those who are experiencing a type of depressive state, physical illness, or even spiritual pain, in such a way that you can pray this prayer. Whatever affliction you may experience, God is the one we must turn to for help. When it comes to discipline, the Lord can discipline us to bring us to a place of repentance and understanding of our sin. But sin doesn't have to be the cause of our discipline either. Sometimes God can discipline and bring affliction into our lives for the sake of greater growth and holiness, or so that we can have a greater dependence and awareness of him. We think about someone like Job or Paul. No one wants to undergo discipline. It can be painful. It can be uncomfortable and hard. But as the writer of Hebrews says, as one who is disciplined by God, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline is like a doctor resetting a bone that's out of place. Right? It's painful, but it's necessary to bring the body back into wholeness and healing. Same with God disciplining his children. And David understands this. As Matthew Henry helpfully points out in his commentary, David does not request that God remove his rebuke or his discipline. His request is that he would not rebuke or discipline in his anger or his wrath. In other words, David doesn't mind being disciplined, but he wants to experience the presence and comfort of God while he does so. To David, it seems as if God is absent in all of this. In his weariness, he can't find peace. I wonder if you have felt the same way. that in your troubles you have felt that God is absent? Where is God? Where is his peace, his joy, his love? It's in that moment where, like David, you need to turn to him and plead for his mercy. David asks that God would not discipline him in his wrath, but rather that he would be gracious. That instead of feeling his absence, he would be comforted by his presence. That his face would shine upon him again. The reason why David needs God's grace is because God's discipline and rebuke has left David weak. He has lost all of his strength. He is in a place of helplessness. That's what we see here in our text. And the only one who can help David is God. God brings us to these places of weakness and helplessness so that we would not only depend upon him, but so that he can work in ways that only he can. David's condition has left him helpless, and it has affected everything about him. David says, "My bones are troubled. My soul is greatly troubled." David is expressing that he is in intense pain. So he cries out to God to heal him. David must have endured his condition for a little while because he ends this section by saying, "Oh Lord, how long? How long must this go on? How long must I endure this?" I'm sure that is a question that you have wondered or even asked God yourself. In the midst of your trouble, I'm sure you have cried out, "How long? How long will I go on experiencing a troubled body? How long will I go on experiencing a troubled soul? How long, O Lord, must I endure this affliction? How long?" So David turns to God for deliverance, which begins by asking God to turn from wrath to mercy, from anger to grace. In verses 4 through 5, David now asks God to save him. David's troubles seem like they have led him to death's doorstep. If God doesn't intervene, death will come soon. David appeals to God's character for his deliverance. Look at verse 4. David says, "Save me for the sake of your steadfast love." What makes David able to appeal to God's love? Was David's relationship to God. Even though David was experiencing God's discipline, he is still his child. Notice that David uses the name "the Lord" in all caps to address God. That is God's covenant name he uses when he draws near and enters a relationship with his people. His relationship is based on his promise he makes to his people. And he showcases his special love and grace towards them. What great comfort in our troubles to know that when we turn to God, we can appeal to a God who has steadfast love. His faithful love to those who are his. That you can call on him at any moment, no matter how troubled or afflicted, at any time, and ask for him to help. The reason why we can pray this prayer along with David is because who David points to. As we read earlier in John 12, like David, Jesus found his own soul troubled. He too cried out to his Father in heaven and asked to be saved. But he knew that for God to save him, it would not look like avoiding death, but enduring it. Jesus' soul was not troubled by any sin in him. It was because Jesus was nearing the time that he would be lifted up on a cross and take on the sin of the world. He knew that he would receive the wrath and punishment of God for sin. And because of that, he endured great affliction in both soul and body. Why would Jesus do that? Why would he give his life for sinners? Why would God send his only Son to save us from his wrath that we rightly deserve due to our sinful rebellion against him? It's because of his steadfast love. And for those who have put their faith in Jesus, you have been united to Christ in his death and his resurrection. Your sin has been paid for, and you can appeal to God through Jesus and find mercy. You can appeal to God's grace and seek his favor upon you in times of great trouble. In David's request for God to deliver him, David prays, "Turn, O Lord, deliver my life." That word for turn is the idea of returning, which implies that God has left David. Now, in one sense, God is always present with us, even with David here, right? God is always present. But God can withhold his grace at times, which makes it seem like he is absent, to withhold his favor upon you. And in light of this, based on David's relationship with God, he says, "Come back. Come back to me, O God. Come upon me anew with fresh mercy and kindness upon my soul. Let me experience your goodness towards my troubled condition. Heal me and save me, O Lord." For those who have a relationship with Christ, he has reconciled us to God. He has secured for us a standing in his presence, to gain a hearing in his courts. What a great privilege for the believer. When we go to him in our troubles, we have an advocate, a mediator that brings us to the throne of grace. Do not hesitate then to go there and make your appeals before God's throne and plead his mercy, to plead to show his steadfast love towards you. As David closes this section, he ends by making one last bold appeal. He says, "For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise?" Sheol there in the Old Testament is the general word for the place of the dead. Right, that can be a little odd request by David, right? In other words, David is saying, if I die now, who will give you praise? I can't give you praise on the earth if I'm dead. But if God heals him, it will give him an opportunity to glorify God and give him thanks among his people, among his family and friends, and tell all of them how God delivered him. I remember when my dad, during COVID, he got COVID pneumonia, and there were several times when it did not look good for him, and we thought we might have lost him. We prayed fervently for God to heal him. Every time a doctor looked at his chart, they called him the miracle patient because they looked at everything he had gone through and said, "You shouldn't be alive right now." The Lord was gracious and he healed my dad. When he returned and got better, my dad typed up a little testimony of everything that he went through, how God got him through it all, he was able to praise God for what he did. And he got to share that with people. He got to testify to God's power and grace before his church, before his family and friends. David is not just saying, "Hey, God, if you do me a solid, I'll do you a solid." David genuinely cares about giving God praise and testifying about his goodness to others so God would get the glory. Sometimes when we go through great trouble in our life, the effects of these troubles are not just contained with us. When God brings us through it, it is an opportunity to testify to his steadfast love to others so they can see the mighty work of God displayed in your life. In Isaiah 38, King Hezekiah prayed something similar after God delivered his life from sickness. He said, "For Sheol does not thank you, death does not praise you, those who go down to the pit do not hope in you for your faithfulness. The living he thanks you, as I do this day. The Father makes known to the children your faithfulness." Through God's discipline in your life and the troubles you may endure because of it, others can see and witness God's power and grace and his deliverance of you. This is something we can appeal to God for in such times. What we have seen in this first section is that we can turn to God and ask for his deliverance. But there are also times where others may witness what you are going through and be a source of pain and discouragement towards you. And this is also David's experience, which leads us to our second point. As David makes his last appeal in verse 5, he moves to describe his emotions in a very vivid way. Look again at verses 6 through 7. Listen to David here. He says, "I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes." Man, it is likely that the cause of David's trouble is due to some sin in his life. What we see here is a humbling response by David. His sin causes him to moan, to spend every night in tears, his furniture soaked with weeping. He's weeping so much his eyes are tired. This is the state that David is in, and he turns to God for help. What do we make of this? Is this David just being dramatic? Is this David being too emotional? Isn't he the king? Shouldn't his emotions be in check? Show a little bit more strength? No, he is a king that knows a proper response to his sin. It is good to mourn for what is not right. Jesus tells us that we are actually blessed when we mourn. When we mourn over our sin. When we mourn over the pain that is caused by living in a sinful and fallen world. Because we know that this world is not as it should be. We are not as we should be. And so when we mourn for this, Jesus says, we will be comforted. And that's exactly what David receives. We see evidence of this in the way David changes his tone in verses 8 through 10. David moves from weeping to finding confidence in God. David is confident that the Lord has heard his weeping. David is confident that the Lord has heard his plea. David is confident that the Lord has accepted his prayer. And so now, from the beginning of the prayer to now, we see a major turn happening. Not just a turn in tone, but a turn in the outcome of those who've surrounded David in his suffering. As David begins to conclude his prayer with a note of confidence, we find out that God's discipline was not the only thing troubling him. At the end of verse 7, we get a sense that David has also been dealing with his enemies while he has been physically and spiritually troubled, who David calls in verse 8, workers of evil. While David suffered, it could be that some around him ridiculed and mocked him because of it. It could be that they question God's favor upon David as king and doubt that God will do anything for him. Oh, David, just give it up. It's hard enough suffering on your own. It's even harder when you have people against you in your suffering who doubt you and God. Now, there could be a possibility that people might taunt or mock you in your affliction, in your suffering. But what this could also look like for us today is the way people in your life might try to have you seek hope or answers somewhere else besides God. It could look like people offering solutions and comfort besides turning to God for help. What use is that God to you? And this could be very tempting when your life is in the deep end. It can be lonely in your grief. It can be lonely when you're trying to trust God and when others around you are trying to point you in a different direction. But as we see with David, he remains steadfast in his faith, and he gives his heart and his life to God. And David knows God hears him and will answer him. And so what we see happening to David in the beginning will now come to bear on his enemies. Whereas David was ashamed of his sin and felt deeply troubled, God will deliver and make his enemies ashamed and greatly troubled. And whereas God felt absent, and David prayed for God to return to him, David now, who has felt the presence of his enemies, is confident that they will be turned back. And they will be put out of his presence in shame. God's favor returns, and his enemies' taunts will leave. We are reminded here that we are ultimately accountable to God in our suffering. No matter what you may experience or go through in your troubles, no matter who comes along and brings you grief because of it, in the end, Jesus will be the judge. Jesus will reorient the world and bring peace and wholeness to it when he returns. And he will bring every wrong done to you to account. But this only will be experienced for those who trust in Jesus alone for peace and salvation. So in this psalm, David helps us to pray. He helps us to pray while we weep. He helps us to pray while we mourn in the great troubles we may find ourselves in. By turning to God and seeking his deliverance, by praying this way and asking for God's help based on his promises and our relationship with him in Christ, we can be confident based on his steadfast love that he hears our cries. And when he does, those who doubted will recognize God's power and grace among his people. For that, we can give God praise and look forward to that. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious Father, I pray that this text would be a comfort to those who need to be comforted now, that they would use this psalm to express their grief, to express their troubles, to bear their heart before you. I pray that you would lead us to the point of where we bend the knee and say, oh God, nowhere else can I go but you. You are the one who brings ultimate salvation, the one who can bring power and healing upon me. Lord, I pray that we would deploy this psalm in such times, that your Spirit would use this prayer to not only express our great troubles and afflictions and sufferings, but that we would see David's confidence in you. Lord, I pray that you would bring that same faith, that same confidence in our own suffering and troubled hearts. May us not grow weary in trusting you and knowing that you hear us. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.